Please turn in your Bible to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Trouble finding it. It follows the book of Judges. And the story of Ruth fits into that time frame. You know, if you want to identify it, it falls in to the Judges part, as we see here in a moment. What I have before me, I haven't tried to squeeze this in like this before, but we're going to make an attempt tonight, and we're just going to highlight some things in the book of Ruth, and we'll call it the story of redemption. The story of redemption. Our Bible is full of stories of redemption, and this is but one, and it excites me and thrilled me recently again, and looking over the four chapters and thinking of our redemption. Can all here tonight say, my Redeemer? Can we make it personal that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Redeemer? Wonderful to say that in a personal way. And Ruth, as we see, shall see, came into the good and the blessing of all that. So it's written, the book of Ruth is written for our instruction. It's very practical. There's encouragement here for us as well. And I would just like to think primarily of the story of redemption. And I'll read, I'm going to highlight something in each chapter and hopefully cover the ground in these few minutes. Now, in chapter 1, and I had to be concise on the reading, so let's just look at verse 1 and verse 2 and then drop down. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges, you see how it fits in the timeline, ruled that there was a family in the land and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons. Now, please, down at the end, I'm going to read maybe just verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now I'm conscious, brethren and sisters, and I feel that I should just pray a moment, just ask God's blessing on the reading and what might be brought forth from it. Father, we look to thee dependently for this brief time together over the scriptures. Give thanks truly for the Lord Jesus. We sung at the beginning about the bread and thought about the living bread. We think of our Lord Jesus. He came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. This one who was himself the bread of life, who said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. So we'd like to just express some thoughts about the redemption that's ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And just give us help, we pray. And bless the saints and give us good attention. These few minutes we ask and give thanks in our Savior's blessed name. Amen. So what I'm thinking in chapter 1, I was thinking of departure and return. Maybe that could head it up in our reading here. Departure and return to this very place, Bethlehem, okay? And again, what an expression, house of bread. You generally think of plenty there, don't you? Of riches and blessing, a house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah. All these mention of these names have meaning, don't they? Judah, praise. And so here's this family, and they relocate. Let me just highlight maybe the other chapters, and we'll come to that. When I'm thinking of chapter 2, and hopefully I'll be able to say something about it, I was thinking of direction and reward, or recompense, direction and reward. Then over in chapter 3, when I read through it, I thought, well, you know, you have dress up, and rest. And then I'll highlight chapter 4 as well. You have what I think of in chapter 4, you have deliverance and restoration. So those are my thoughts now, if I can just expand a little bit upon them. In chapter 1, back to chapter 1, you have now departure. And here was this family, and they went as a family, and they relocated along with their sons down in the land of Moab. Why? Because there was a famine in that good land. You know, sometimes you can't escape from it. You can't always run away from it. But they attempted to in moving, relocating down into the land of Moab. I think at times that when there's famine, beloved, it's really times of testing. And we've all experienced in one way or another famine in Christian, in our Christian life. And what has been the result of that? Has it been for our good and blessing? And have we built it, on it? Or do we try and escape it or try and run from it? And that's what happened here. And following this here sad departure from the land and the place and so on, it resulted in a whole lot of sorrow and loss and trouble, didn't it? What grief, Naomi, what grief she must have experienced there, and the loss of her husband here, Elimelech, and two sons as well. Nevertheless, those two sons had married, hadn't they? And upon their decease, they left these two widows, Ruth and Orpha. And all of a sudden, it seems that Ruth, she discovered, she heard, well, there's bread and there's blessing and so on back in Judah, in the land that she had run from. So what did she do? She says, well, listen, I'm going back. This is enough down here in Moab. She says, I'm going back, because she had heard now that there was plenty back at home. And here she goes now. And here's these two daughter-in-laws, Orpha and Ruth. Oh, she says, you just stay. I'll go myself. But you know, there was one of them, and this is the outstanding one, is Ruth. She says, no, she says, I'm going too. And you have her, what shall I say, just clinging. I'm looking here at verse number 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God, and so on. Ruth is making a choice, isn't she? Well, beloved, we'll all make choices. And those choices bring on the consequences of our choices. Anyway, here's Ruth, and she's blessed and making a good choice. She's going with Naomi. And you come now down a ways again. And so they arrive back here and coming into the city. And all of a sudden, there's great celebration And there's great rejoicing because here's Ruth and Naomi. Naomi's come back now. Great rejoicing in her being returning. What did she say? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. And that means bitter. I heard, my wife on the phone the other day, she was speaking with some dear soul out there. And she said, well, listen, don't let bitterness come into your heart. You know, this can make the worst of the situation when there's bitterness. But I think of Naomi, she's coming back humbly now. She's coming back to the very starting place again. And there's great celebration and great rejoicing when they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to jump ahead. Most here tonight would know sort of the background and detail of the story. And all I wanted to do was just kind of reinforce the idea of redemption and what is going to come about. And we're going to see that here in chapter 2, please. I'm going to read a verse or two at the start again. In chapter 2, I'm going to read verse number 1 to 3. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Boaz meaning strength. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. What did I say? Direction, and reward. We'll look at that in a minute. She is directed to this very place, to this harvest field where she can reap. And whose field is it? It's the field of Boaz, this man of wealth, this mighty man, this man who is a relative, a very near of kin, or you maybe have in your text, a kinsman. That's what Boaz was. And he would be able, as we shall see, he will be able to redeem, to purchase, to make payment, field and restore again, marry Ruth and raise up children for Ruth to inhabit that territory and that piece of land. All that will be restored. So coming in then to the good and the blessing. And so it took this here man called Boaz. In him is strength, and he proves to be a near relative and a kinsman. Favor. Oh, she says, no, I'm going to find favor. In fact, looking down here at verse number 10, why have I found grace? She exclaims, in the riches and the blessing in the field of Boaz, in the rich harvest there, she says, why have I found grace in thine eyes, seeing I'm but a stranger? And so here's Ruth here. She's being brought into the very presence of Boaz. And Boaz tells his man, look, he says to the reapers and so on, you leave just handfuls on purpose. You leave something special in the field so that Ruth can come in and reap it. You know, the riches and blessing that she enjoyed in the field. And she returns to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law is so surprised at seeing her with plenty. And she says, where have you harvested? Where have you been today? So she found favor. She was led direction there. Let's read verse, please, verse number verse number 12. The Lord repay you, repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. You know, Boaz noticed her in the field. Boaz saw her there, and Boaz had heard already what she had done in clinging and being with and a support to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and he blessed her in turn for that. He recognized it, and he said, I like the end of the verse there, under whose wings you've come for refuge. You know, the wings. I think of a number of verses in the Psalms, especially, that tell us about the wings and how the Lord would spread his wings in comfort and safe keep to those. And we can enjoy something of that protection even tonight under his mighty wings, his protection. I think of Psalm 17 and verse number 8. It says, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Would that be a little special prayer that we could offer up tonight? Hide me under the shadow of your wings, because we need in this world today in which we live, we need to know that protection. Now I'm going to just jump right ahead. I'm into chapter 3. Before I go there, I'll just point out something else that I enjoyed in chapter 2 here. Find a verse in chapter 2. First, read with me verse number 14 in chapter 2. Take time there. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. You know what else she found in the field of Boaz? She found bread and wine, sour vinegar, wine. Or maybe some of the text, I think, ESV and so on, it renders it as wine. So what did she discover? Bread and wine. Oh, I thought how precious for us as saints today to enjoy that communion, bread and wine, in a field of Boaz. So that's the place to which she's brought. Please, thirdly, chapter 3, let me speak about dress up. And this is what she's advised now. Ruth is advised by her mother-in-law. I'll just read selection. I have to be just careful and speedy here. Verse number chapter 3, and I'll read verse 3. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what you shall do. So that's exactly what Naomi was going to do. She followed that procedure. Nothing immoral, nothing questionable about this. She was doing, actually, if I could give you the reference back, I'd like to take time to go there, but I won't. I'll give you the reference. Well, two references are coming to my mind. Deuteronomy 24 and Deuteronomy 25. Because in Deuteronomy 24, they were to leave provision when they harvested. They were to leave provision for the poor and the needy, and so on. People like Ruth, where she could come in and reap. And then in chapter 25, it has a special reference to this marriage where a close relative, a kinsman, was to take up and marry a widow in order to restore. We'll come to that in chapter 4. So let's just leave it there. What did I say again quickly? In chapter 3, we have dress up, but we also have rest. And if I could just point that out at the end of the chapter, chapter number 3, I'm going to read one verse again, the last verse, verse 18. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he hath concluded the matter this day." You know, what a great faith, confidence Naomi had in all that would take place. This near relative, Boaz, she knew that this man was a man of wealth. She knew that, yes, he was a kinsman. And was he willing? And was he able to perform the duties of a kinsman? Well, you read chapter 3, and there's a bit of hesitancy there, isn't there? Because he speaks about somebody else, just wait now, somebody that could be near of kin, maybe just a closer relative. And maybe that person would perform the duties and take this responsibility. Anyway, he will not rest until that work is done. But you know what I'm thinking, beloved? The rest into which we've been brought. I wished I could expand on that a little bit, but you're acquainted with Matthew 11, 28 for a start. Anyway, Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." And dear fellow believer, we have discovered that, haven't we? This comes into the story of our redemption. We all have our story of our redemption. The burden that was ours because of sin. And in coming to the Lord Jesus and finding rest in him, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." And so on. And Hebrews reminds us again, another track there. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." And we'll come into spiritual rest and eventually eternal rest that will be the believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now come quickly, just a brief remark in chapter 4. Chapter 4, how did we head it out? Deliverance and restoration. Now the deliverance, you can see at the start of the chapter, sitting at the gate, the place of where these transactions took place and where business was attended to and so on, in the gate. And so you have Boaz and he's found in the gate, but there's this other near relative comes through as well. And he stops him on his way. And he says, "Look, here's what's taken place. Naomi has come back. Ruth is with her. Widows. Could there be a restoration? Could there be a restoring to the property?" And this other near kin, he's glad. He's glad for it. He says, "Sure, I'll take it on." But as soon as they raise the issue, well, here comes in the package, as it were, in the package is what? Is Ruth. You have to marry. You marry Ruth and you raise up family for Ruth to inherit the land. Oh, he says, I can't do it. And for whatever reason, you can work on that one. He backs away from it. Well, Boaz is happy for that, shall I say. And let me just point that out. Okay, chapter 4. And what does he say here? Verse number 8, he says, "Therefore the close relative said to Boaz, 'Buy it for yourself.' So he took off his sandal," and so on. They went through that procedure. Deuteronomy chapter 25 expands on that. Won't turn to it. "Buy it for yourself." And I could just imagine Boaz, this man, great wealth, this man of strength, this man who is, maybe this puts him apart from the other kinsmen. He's willing and he's able to do it. And so he says, "Sure, and he marries her, and maybe just jump. I'm going to go to verse number 15, and this will at least give us a word. Verse number 15, and may he be to you a restorer of life. Now, that was my thought. Here, you see, Boaz marries Ruth and raises up a son. His name here is Obed. And I'm looking verse number 13. I'm going back. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And his name here is Obed. Now, this is remarkable, because it tells us here in the text that Obed, he is the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. Now, beloved, that is falling right into the line of our Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ, who took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. The Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that this was maybe touched on in prayer and thanksgiving, his perfect humanity in coming into the world. Amazing, isn't it? God manifest in flesh. John 1, the Word eternal. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, beheld his glory, the Lord Jesus, near of kin, a perfect man, in order that he might go to the cross, shed his precious blood, redeem us. How costly, beloved. That's the story of redemption. And every one of us, saved by the grace of God, can go back over the story. We have our story, our part in the story. But more than that, and that's not what we want to advertise necessarily. We want to advertise the kinsman redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that you can see the connection. Restoration, I was just thinking of some wonderful things. Beloved, this world is not our home. We're looking beyond that. We're looking for what Peter would say, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so we're looking for a great day. Restoration, is that the right word for this world? And as we've been reminded, in all its conditions of war and turmoil, hunger, starvation, and persecuted Christians and so on throughout, oh, that's all going to be brought to an end one day when this sovereign Lord reigns supreme in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwell righteousness. Revelation chapter 19, the rider in the white horse, is that it there? He's coming, the sovereign one, the omnipotent one, who is the Lord God, the omnipotent one, and he's coming to reign supreme. So with that, I close. Those are my four little pointers on the chapters, and you can go back over it. I trust for your encouragement, and appreciate and value that great story of redemption.